Hello, and welcome back to Chaos Considered, where we consider our weird, wacky, wonderful world and share the burden of knowledge. My name is Emily Roberts.
And I'm Claire Middicky.
Do you guys hear that?
Do you hear that beautiful tone? Oh, she's crisp!
Oh, she's crisp, guys! Call me iceberg lettuce, because it's crispy in here.
Iceberg is my least favorite. Lettuce, and also like lettuce to be compared to.
Sorry, it could be like, can we be celery? Are we?
How dare you? You know how I feel about celery. I hate celery.
You hate celery?
It is my least favorite vegetable.
Oh, I love celery. I can crunch on celery all day.
It's like if you took a clump of my hair, transformed it into soap, and then said, hey, eat it.
And I did.
And then you got really deep in the paint, apparently, because that's what you're really interested in. And, like, good
I'm
for
really,
you, I guess.
I'm really into it's celery. Disgusting. I crave it sometimes. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I gotta get me some crunchy boys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't be having, like, little vegetable hair in my teeth.
I don't even get them. Well, I floss, so that helps. But also, I don't really get them in my teeth. I just eat them.
It's bad. I don't care for it. It's very bad. And the taste sucks, and the mouthfeel is bad.
The taste is good, and you're wrong, and it's okay. I love you through it.
Okay. Agree to disagree.
Agree to disagree. So, what are your family members is officially listening before the Nemisode? Can I ask how this makes you feel?
So bad. I told her not to listen until we've had the Nemisode, the almighty, all-powerful Nemisode. But apparently she's in, I saw her in the email. I saw her in the emails today.
And she had a very important, she wanted some clarification, which okay. I think was a valid clarification. So this is based on episode number one's Would You Rather. So spoiler alert, if you haven't listened to episode number one, we asked my favorite Would You Rather, which is hair for nails or nails for hair. And she brought up, what about the hair on your body?
What of it? Of like
in this situation, I guess maybe
oh.
What the question is if you chose nails for hair, do you then have like nail eyebrows and like nail arm hair?
So that would be powerful because at that point are you not just like a
That's
reptile?
Scales, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I would argue I'd be even more into that.
Yeah, I think so. Like,
I'm fully ready to become a lizard person. Is that wrong? Am I, like, misreading the room right now? I feel like that's the right answer.
I mean, I am a lizard person in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
In creative nonfiction, we talk a lot about the lizard brain. Like, that's an actual thing that we discuss. And I'm a big fan of the lizard brain.
Is that just, like, base instinct of, like, I'm just gonna do it? My lizard brain is just going to do it.
It's like the part of your brain that's like when you're writing, it's like you think you're writing about something, but then like the lizard brain is like instinctually taking you somewhere and you're like, where am I? And the lizard brain's like, don't worry about it, sis.
I don't like that. I don't like that because I think whenever I think about like lizard brain, I think about like, I don't know, not something that's like guiding me on a spiritual journey.
Well, maybe your lizard brain sucks.
My lizard brain does suck. This is fair point.
I also today went in, looked at our podcast datas. We had one person, I don't want to say listen, because that might be generous, but one person from New Zealand clicked on our podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's not go with listen. That's unfair to everybody.
Yeah, yeah. I they might not have stayed far or long. But technically, hey, guys, we've made it. International fame.
Hey!
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 I'm sorry.
I also got a car.
You did?
So
it's official?
I'm out of the sinkhole. I got it delivered yesterday. I took my dog to the park. She got mud all over the back seat. It's mine now.
Yeah, well, that's your car. That can be your mud car.
It's my mud car. It's dirty and nasty, just like me.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I got my dad's old car for Christmas and I still haven't cleaned it. So we both kind of have mud cars.
Yeah.
So if you think about it.
That's why we have a podcast together.
That's why, because we're both.
Check out our second podcast, Mud Cars, where we just talk about cars.
Oh, can you imagine?
I don't know anything about cars.
No.
Genuinely.
One time as like a icebreaker thing at an orientation that I went to, they were like, what's your favorite type of car? And I was like, a functional existent one.
Yeah.
With four wheels.
Can I tell you, when I was up in Delaware, I went and parked in this tiny parking lot when I had to do some work before we went out to the island. And it was a parking lot with maybe like four cars in it. Did I still walk to the wrong car?
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah, I did. Because at that point, Maeve only had my car for like 4 weeks, but I sure didn't know what it looked like.
No, that's unfair. That's unfair of you to expect yourself to know what your own car looks like.
Yeah, yeah. Betty, make sure you rest in peace. So I guess my question for you, Claire, is do you have any name recommendations? Do you think we could figure out a name for my car now?
Like, what energies are you getting from this car?
Okay, it's a 2014 black Kia Sportage. It's the nicest thing I've ever owned, and I'm terrified.
So she's Sporty Spice.
She's Sporty Spice.
Hmm. What are some sporty names?
Ashley.
Pepto-Bismol.
Pepto-Bismol. Polo.
Marco.
Marco.
Baseball. Cleat. Oh, Cletus. Cletus.
Cletus.
How do we feel about Cletus?
Should I name my car Cletus, but like Cleat-US?
Yeah. 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 You can. Yeah, baby.
Okay, my car's name is now Cletus.
Okay, good. We have Cletus and Bertha the Behemoth. It's great.
Yeah.
Cletus and Bertha.
Cletus and Bertha. That's a power couple.
That's a power couple if I ever heard one.
Wow. Amazing. So, Claire, do you want to get in it?
I don't, because already, reflexively, my eyes are watering. But I'm here, and I'm refusing to sniffle.
Okay, this topic is actually not a topic that's going to make you cringe.
Yay!
It is a topic where it's like, I feel so strongly connected to this person because the level of petty, the level of chaos, the extraness that they took in this situation is just, for me, it's inspiring, it's iconic. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm chaotic neutral, but I want to be chaotic good. And this person, I think, is the definition of being, like, pure chaotic good.
That's so wholesome. What a change in brand for you.
Don't get comfortable.
Ooh.
I thought, you know, since we're crispy now. Ooh, what'd you find? Ooh, it's an earwax tool.
I would like it to stress, because this is an auditory medium, she's not referring to me.
No, my roommate found it on the floor and she gave it to me because I was cleaning my ears on the couch.
Oh, delicious.
Remember when I said I was chaotic neutral and I was trying to be chaotic good?
Mm-hmm. You're doing the best you can. It's a journey. It's a process. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But that's where we're at now.
Okay, Claire, you've probably heard of this, but we're going to be talking about the Anish Kapoor and Stuart Semple feud.
Yay!
Yes!
Yay! Yay, 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 yay!
Claire's like, actually, maybe this is when we break the cry streak.
Yay, yay, yay!
So sorry, we're gonna this, do, this is so good. This is so much joy.
I'm so happy.
We are out of the sink. She's crying tears of joy now.
I'm so happy. Okay.
We're out of the sinkhole. We gotta prep you before the Nemesode.
Yeah, take me to a dark place, but not today.
Not today. Quick one, because I was gonna do bone worms today, and I was like, no, it's too soon.
Bone worms?
Because I was like, listen.
What are you talking about?
It'd be in too close proximity. It'd be too close proximity to nematodes. And I wanted nematodes to have their own time. And we can get to bone worms later.
Oh, no. So, like, that's my future. Like, we have scried into the future.
I've pulled the tarot card, flipped it over, and it's bone worms.
No. Okay.
Just a bunch of powerful women. Women worms. Women?
Is this what it means to be empowered? We get powerful bone worms?
I think that the height of female empowerment is becoming a bone worm.
I mean, if we change it into, like, an aspirational, like, one day we can all be bone worms, like, then I'm back in.
Like, no, I think it's, like, the inevitable future is bone worms.
I see. I don't even really have a grid for what that means.
Don't worry about it. So
repercussions.
Anish Kapoor is a seriously famous artist. He made The Bean, which is that big shiny thing in Chicago, which is where Maddie lives.
Mm-hmm. It's a good bean. Tasted it. It was real crunchy.
Okay. I've actually, yeah, no.
Did that throw you?
Well, I feel like that's the sort of energy that I normally bring, and now I feel like our dynamic is somehow reversed. Even though I'd really try to, like, do a power play with the bone worms. And now you're just so crispy that you're confident, and it's really throwing me off. So I'm going to need you to, like, put that confidence away.
Put that empowerment back with the bone worms for a later
Back with thing. The bone worms. Bury it with bone. Bury me in bone worms. Okay. So Anish Kapoor is one of the richest artists alive today, and that will be important. So Stuart Semple is also an artist. He just so happens to also produce art supplies. That will also be important. So in 2016, the blackest black then known to man, capable of absorbing 99.96% of light, Vantablack, was created for military uses. And so Anish Kapoor bought the exclusive rights to use Vantablack.
Yeah, he did.
So basically this incredible color comes out that can pretty much draw voids, and this rich dude comes in and claims it all for himself, which would be rude in any situation, but it's the art world, which is pretty much based on the idea that, like, anything is a medium, and, like, I mean, art is... If it's good art, it's anti-establishment. That's tea. That's tea.
Pro-establishment art should not exist.
That's propaganda, sis. That's not art anymore.
Hey, baby. This is like a bedtime story for me. I'm so happy. I kind of know the story a little bit, and it just, like, warms my heart. Because, you know, the petty factor. And
the
so
petty
now
factor
just...
is so strong in this one.
Ooh.
So, you know... Even though Vantablack is extremely difficult to produce, and it's toxic, by the way, so it's, like, really difficult to use, it's really difficult to produce, Kapoor is like, I'm going to keep it all to myself. Just, like, probably some weird power move, I don't know. Everyone is salty. So this is when Semple enters the picture. He's like, Vantablack, I don't know her. What about the pinkest pink?
Yes.
Which he sold for, like, £3, right? And it's this, like, incredibly pink. It is, like, the pinkest pink. Oh. And he has this legal disclaimer on his website.
Yeah, he does.
By adding this product to your cart, you confirm that you are not Anish Kapoor. You are in no way affiliated to Anish Kapoor. You are not purchasing this item on behalf of Anish Kapoor or an associate of Anish Kapoor.
Yes.
However... Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Kapoor got his hands on it.
Dun, dun.
And he posted a picture of his middle finger dipped in the pigment onto Instagram.
The audacity.
So right now we're getting into, like, okay, not only is he that guy for buying the exclusive rights to Vantablack, but he's also, like, that guy who's going to dip his middle finger in the pigment when he was, like, legally not allowed to get it.
Yeah, but also, like, two shitty things don't make a good thing. You know what I mean? Like, you're not, like, stepping back and like fighting the power by like putting your middle finger in something. You just kind of still suck. Because you sucked the first time and then you sucked the second time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, continue. He makes me mad.
So what's Semple's response?
Yes.
Create the glitteriest glitter, which is made up with ground up glass, specifically so that if Anish Kapoor stuck his finger in it, it would cut him.
Yes, queen.
Yes, queen. So Semple was like, hey, you want to stick your finger in this? Go ahead.
Wish you would.
Yes.
Eat glass.
Eat glass. So Semple also painted the Instagram post using the pinkest pink, which I think is incredibly iconic.
That's very good.
Like, way to reclaim that.
Take back the pink.
Take back the pink. And we also know who leaked it.
Who?
I'm glad that you asked. Let me pull it up on my phone.
You built it up. You built it up.
Well, I didn't. I wasn't going to copy and paste it into my notes. I took a screenshot and I don't need this energy.
I'm sorry.
Okay. It's the Listen Gallery. It was the Listen Gallery in London.
Okay.
So he knew who bought it, which is, by the way, illegal because there is a literal thing being like, you cannot sell this to this guy. And they did. So these were Semple's demands that he wrote in a very fancy business letter. He was like, I will not take action if you say sorry for giving my pink to Mr. Kapoor.
Apologize, of course. Yes.
Mr. Kapoor would give me my pink back. I don't want him to have it.
Oh, that's very good.
3, he will write 100 lines, I will be nice, I will share my colors, and he will post the same on his Instagram.
That's so good! I didn't know about this most recent. The most recent official professional.
Well, this is in 2017.
I mean, that's very good.
So failing the above, an agreeable settlement would also be the reimbursement of the $3.99, which was the cost of the pink minus shipping.
Oh, so they're really getting their money.
Yeah. And Mr. Kapoor to void his exclusive agreement over the use of Vanta Black in art. So I don't think this actually came to any sort of legal fruition or anything like that, because I couldn't find any mention of it in any more articles.
Yeah.
But don't worry. The feud isn't dead, by the way.
It's alive?
It's still alive, sis. I was deep in Semple's Twitters and Instagrams. So there is a new version of the pinkest pink, which is even pinker and specifically designed to deter Kapoor. To quote Semple, and this is very recently, so quirky. So new anti-Kapoor measures. A friend of mine works in Kapoor's studio, and apparently word on grapevine is he hates strawberries. So I've made the new pink strawberry scented. So hopefully that will be a deterrent. And the bottle shape means if you have a largish middle finger, it's difficult to dip it in. So I'm hoping we are all good.
Yes, 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 yes.
So, yes, he specifically designed the pinkest pink, the new one, so that Anish Kapoor cannot use it. But not only that, you know, pinkest pink. What about the blackest black?
Oh, yeah, let's go back to that. Let's touch on that.
So, in addition, through collaboration with over 1,000 other artists, he actually managed to create the blackest black, which is both blacker than Vanta Black, but also not toxic and extremely difficult to use and make. So he has, again, another easily accessible, cheap, hyper-pigmented paint that is blacker than the Vanta Black, and Anish Kapoor cannot buy it.
And it was made with the power of friendship.
With the power of friendship, because it turns out when you share resources in the art community, you make better art.
And better friends.
And better friends.
That's so good.
And he sells this in his store, which has a security guard specifically hired so that Anish Kapoor cannot buy any of Semple's amazingly pigmented paints.
Yay!
The level of pettiness, the level of chaos. I thrive. I was like, I really wanted to dig into this because, like, I had seen vague posts, vague mentions about it, but the idea that it's still continuing, that he is still like, no matter what I create, and he has created, like, extremely, like, the yellowest yellow, like, extremely pigmented, extremely affordable paints that he sells in his store, and is like, he's obviously doing well for himself in terms of his, like, business with his art, because people are like, yeah. And it's also funny because you can find people online who have also bought, like, the pinkest pink, but have, like, dipped their fingers in it to be like, peace signs. Like, the whole response is just, like, one big, incredible piece of performance art. Like, that's the best way I can describe, like, the feud, is that it's almost one giant bit of performance art.
I feel like that's correct. I feel like you really hit the nail on the head with that, because it is effective. And you know it's art because it's fighting against the establishment. You know.
Exactly.
And it's wholesome art. Because the power of friendship got us here.
Right. So, yeah. I thought, you know, I wanted to talk about it. I think that this is chaos considered, but it doesn't always have to be a show where I, you know, make Claire cry. It can also be a show where we just, like, appreciate the chaos in the world that is good and wholesome. And
that's
wonderful.
Such good chaos.
Such good chaos.
And it's, like, maximum petty. And the fact that it's, like, the fires still burn in the pettiness factory, like, that makes me want to, like, work harder to be my best petty self. But, like, petty in a way that brings good to the world.
Right? Like, the only person who is suffering from this pettiness is Anish Kapoor. Because he could just, like, give up his exclusive rights to Vantablack, and he would be able to buy it, too.
It's really not that hard.
To share.
Also, at a certain point, like, and this is just, like, I have a lot of thoughts about rich people. But if you're, like, rich, the least you can do is be kind.
Also, low-key, if you're a good artist, you shouldn't be threatened by other artists using the same materials as you.
Yes, ma'am.
Like, if your art relies on being the only art of its kind, you're making bad art.
Yeah. Like, miss me with the exclusivity. Stop trying to, like, stop art from happening.
It's
boring. Especially
because artists will literally use anything to make art, which is awesome. And it's a whole another topic, because I took one art history class, and boy, some performance art pieces are incredible, but also, like, wild.
Sometimes when I hear the word performance art, it does trigger my fight or
fear.
Flight. So I do want to be vulnerable in that sense, you know, like, I do want to, like, have that be heard by you and, I guess, my sister who listens.
Does your sister know anything about performance art?
I hope not.
Who's to say? And, you know, if your sister's listening right now and she has a wild topic, she can always send it in.
No. Please. I mean, do it. Like, definitely do it. Like, I need
to support. And Kristen, if you want to hear more about bone worms, just, like, send us a message demanding the bone worms.
So, I forget. Have you ever watched Pride and Prejudice?
You're asking me. Emily Roberts, shameless fan of enemies to friends to lovers. If I've seen Pride and Prejudice, excuse me. Sophia is, like, waving all of her Pride and Prejudice materials around. You have what? Come here. Say it to the people. This is the idea that I would not even be aware of Pride and Prejudice. Excuse me? She can't see you. I don't have my camera on. How many Pride and Prejudice books do you own?
Hell yeah, you do, dude. Hell yeah, you do. Hell.
No crackers for you.
Y'all nasty crackers. With the crackers. You're just in there.
We're just in it with these multi-grain and flaxseed water crackers.
Yeah, you are. Listen, we're about to talk about Pride and Prejudice, and so, like, you really need that fortification.
We are rewatching Avatar The Last Airbender. Mm-hmm. I'm rewatching it. Sophia's watching it for the first time, and she loves Zuko. Exciting. Understandably, because he's the Mr. Darcy. Okay? We love it. We love to see it. We love to see it.
Pride and Prejudice was so formative for me growing up, and my, like, expectations of what I think romance is are probably so skewed. What'd you say?
Is that why you're aggressive towards people you like?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. If I like you, and I'm not proud of this, this is not like a good thing that I do. If I like you, I am going to be aggressively mean to you. And it's in like a funny banter way, at least I try for it to be. But yes, and it's 100% rooted in the fact that my family has like indoctrinated me into the Pride and Prejudice culture. Like, I was reading like kids' versions of Pride and Prejudice in like probably first grade. And then by third grade, I read Pride and Prejudice in a day. So this has been a lifelong issue of mine. This is not brand new. Like, we can talk BBC. We got that, like,
Who is the hottest Mr. Darcy of all the iterations?
Wow, you can't do this to me. Because...
What?
You can't.
Sophia says there's a right answer.
So I'm going to be honest. It's going to be the Keira Knightley version one for me. And this is why.
Is that the Keira Knightley one?
No. It's Jennifer Ely.
Sophia thinks it's. Sophia, why is it Colin Firth?
Because he's beautiful and perfect. And he plays him so well. And also, like, there's a shirtless moment. And as a child, not a child. I was watching this when I was, like, 11 or 12. But, like, as a 12-year-old.
A child. you're like 11 and 12 when I was a full grown woman who knew what she wanted and knew what she needed.
Young Colin Firth was hotter than old Colin Firth, and that's saying something because old Colin Firth is still really hot.
Oh, Colin Firth is super attractive.
She got so
heated. No, and I would like my voice to be heard in this space because I. That seems untrue, but I like. This is the thing. This is the thing is I am so deeply attracted to both Darcys. The only reason why I lean, this is literally the only reason why I lean towards the other one is because of the hand flex. The hand flex is so deeply powerful. Like, I like my romantic leads to not, like, I don't want you to kiss or touch each other. I just need you to help her into a carriage and then do a weird thing where you flex your hands afterwards. And it just shows how, like, repressed you are and how deep in your feelings you are. And you can't help it. And you can't help it.
I think it goes to say, though, that we should establish that, like, all Mr. Darcy characters are hot. Even if they're not Mr. Darcy. If he has big Mr. Darcy energy, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. We love watching an emotionally repressed man learn to be soft.
Listen, okay. And this is what I'm going to say, because I've had a lot of people step to me in my life about, like, my love of Pride and Prejudice. And it's like, first of all, don't step to me ever, because I'm always right. That's disrespectful.
And I'm sad.
Mr. Darcy is there for me in a trying time. Listen, things that are important about him is that he respects women. Like, he is, like, out here. And he's saying, you know what? When you say you're not interested in me, I'll take that at face value. And he's like, I had a guy who once performed as Darcy at our high school in a play. And he was like, oh, she only ends up liking him because of the money. It's like, no, because he's Mr. Darcy and he is well respected by literally everybody in his life. And she knows that he is loving and caring and a flawed human being. And they have a beautiful and complex relationship. And the idea that, like, you, a 15-year-old dumb boy, can't understand that is baffling to me. And to this day, I still don't respect this kid. I still don't. Like, how could I? Like, respect my history and my past. Please.
When was this? We went to the same school.
We did. I think it might have been the year after we left, because I still knew, like, the theater crowd.
Oh. Man, if I had been there for that, I would have been set crew.
You would have shown on stage.
I would have been paint and wallpaper.
Absolutely. I just think, and I think everybody knows this, but, like, the romantic story and, like, the family drama and the depths that are reached in both, like, the books and also, like, you know what, the movies and the BBC series and, like, whatever, all of those things, incredible. So good. It has probably formed me for the worse because my expectations are weird now. Like, don't look at me. Or if you're going to look at me, we're going to make long, prolonged eye contact from across the room, but then quickly look away when, like, you meet my eye.
Can I just say, I feel like there's going to be a lot of negatives about, like, the repressed queer experience.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the positives is for sure that you do get to enact some kind of weird, like, 18th century courting where you have to look at each other from across the room and stare into each other's eyes and, like, very gently touch. You feel like you get to relive pinkies. The magic.
You get to rebrand what you're experiencing and rebrand it as the Mr. Darcy experience.
The Mr. Darcy experience of where, like, you brushed shoulders and so now you're like, are we married?
That is the rule that I apply to my own life.
I assume that's the energy, right? Have I been reading it wrong this entire time?
No, you're correct. You have a very nuanced literary analysis to add to this discussion. And I think
thank you.
You should say
that's the English degree in me.
That is the English degree in you, and it sings. And we hear the music. So, okay. So what I'll kind of, like, summarize this for, because I feel like Pride and Prejudice, the book, the series, the movies have been around long enough that I feel like everybody has, like, a working-ish knowledge of, like, what it is and what it's about. If not, like, just, like, dive in, both feet. It's been so impactful. Like, it's so promising. I would also say that, like, sometimes I get disappointed by, like, Mr. Darcy types where it's just like, oh, nah, like, he's just mean. Like, that's just a bad dude. Like, uh-oh, you were went fishing, you got a bad fish, and I'm going to need you to throw him back into the pond. Because it's not that he's deep, he's just unkind. But Mr. Darcy is, like, a flawed human being, yes, but has this, like, very well-rounded, like, good family, good friends, like, well-trusted, well-respected, kind, compassionate, giving. Like, he's just, like, out here. And then also on top of that, has really good banter and really good snark. And, like, I'm sorry, I am weak to that.
So I'm really glad that you came onto our podcast with your internet dating app of what you were looking for in a partner. But is this all we're going to be discussing, Claire? Is just, like, what makes you happy in a human being? About, I mean, what makes you happy? I mean, like, what you look out the window and wish you had.
Well, you know, I'm big into pining.
You're big into Chris Pining.
I just wanted to just bring to the table what makes me happy in the book, in the movie, and how formative it has been in my life. And I feel like the world ought to experience Pride and Prejudice in any media that they can possibly consume it. I feel like that's fair to bring to the table.
Okay.
So part of what I need to do is, like, I like to bring something that obviously is kind of fun to combat the chaotic energy that is normally brought at the front end of this podcast. Yes. Because once we've considered this chaos, what if I threw in, like, another thing that was, like, kind and compassionate?
What?
So in the hunt for this, I did a mistake in which I went onto the online and were like, give me some happy facts. And, like, I was really hoping that would spur me on to, like, find new things that were, like, awesome about the world that I can bring to you. And so I went to the website Bored Panda.
Oh, that was first mistake.
That was my first mistake. And they gave me a list, and I'm not going to read through all of them. I think I have six. And I'm going to say these out, and I just want you to give me a gut feel of, like, how did that make you feel as a person?
Okay.
You know what I mean? I feel like that's pretty straightforward. And this was an article titled Nunya Business, apparently.
Nunya, N-U-N? Is this just mm-hmm. facts about nuns?
Soups, super duper fun facts about nuns.
Nunya Business, the secret life.
I wish.
Okay. Let me take a fat sip of my White Claw.
You're not drinking White Claw right now. That's nothing.
What?
Are you?
Yeah.
You are the nastiest girl I know. You are the nastiest white lady I know. And you make me so mad with your water crackers and your nasty. Okay. All right. So this is on a list of like 50 happy facts that will make you like happy facts. To be alive or some nonsense.
Oof. Well, okay. Good luck.
All right. Are you ready for this first?
Can I pause this and tell you something real quick?
Yes.
I had a dream last night that my dad sent me like a care package because of like, you know, the virus and stuff. It was like medicine, and it included two giant like syringes labeled serotonin.
And I was like, where are they at?
And I just,
where are you hiding them?
I just thought about the level of like shade that my brain just did. Because it was like, hey, sis. Like, my subconscious was like, hey, sis, remember how you, like, we need more of this serotonin? And I'm like, you're the one not making any, hunty. Like,
this is not on me.
This is not on me, sis.
This is on you.
This is on you, sis.
You're the one who's not posting up. My dude. My guy.
So, yeah. So, as we go into these happy facts, just remember that my brain was like, we're not getting enough serotonin. Like, what if you had, like, two giant syringes?
Syringes. I don't dream, and that seems like cruelty on my brain's part. But enough of that. In China, killing a panda is punishable by death.
As it should be. That doesn't bother me.
That I don't love.
Well, maybe you shouldn't kill pandas.
As someone who is against the death penalty, doesn't spark joy.
Well, so am I, but like, I'm okay with it. It's China. It's
panda. You're pro panda.
I'm pro panda.
That's fair. Dolphins have names for each other.
Love that.
Mm-mm. They're colonizing. They're organizing.
They're so intelligent. I don't like dolphins for other reasons.
Oh, I know those reasons.
You know those reasons.
They're the worst, and the fact that they have names for each other makes it worse for me.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. We're killing them all anyways.
When playing with female puppies, male puppies will let them win, even if they have a physical advantage.
I don't know how I feel about this.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because on one hand, it's like, oh, it's kind. I can see how it's cute. But I feel like the perception that it's cute comes from like a societal understanding of gender roles.
Yes, ma'am.
So it's like, I wouldn't want a guy to let me win, even if he had a physical advantage over me. And I wouldn't let him win because we wouldn't even be playing that game anyways. I'm too smart for that.
A 100-year-old tortoise named Diego single-handedly saved.
Oh, is that the one who had sons and daughters? I love him. Yes.
He saved the species by fathering over 800 offspring.
I am so proud of him.
He's 100 years old,
father of the year.
Thank you, Diego.
Thank you for your service.
I have one that I find to be a little bit happier.
Okay.
Humpback whales protect other animals from being killed by killer whales.
I love that. And it also, like, is there like a rich feud between humpback whales and killer
whales?
Is that like a Pixar movie where like a humpback whale and a killer whale, like, very West Side Story fall in love? But it's okay because killer whales, speaking of dolphins and how smart they are, killer whales freak me out because they're not whales, A, and B, they are one of the most intelligent creatures on this planet.
Ooh, hey.
They, like, teach... Each pod has its own specific way of hunting.
No. This ain't it. Whatever you're saying right now, I'm like trying not to process because.
And also, one of the ways they'll hunt is that they will literally throw themselves on beaches and just grab seals that are like, we're safe because we're on land. And killer whales are like, nah, sis.
No. Killer whales, no.
But we should definitely do an episode on that.
Okay, can I give you this last fact?
Yeah, give me that last fact.
Mind you, this is Bored Panda, which is, you know, as we all know, a very reputable, incredible website. And I'm so happy that they're going to give me all these facts that are supposed to make me so happy and so joyous and so glad to be alive. This is one of their last ones. And I'm going to read it verbatim, what they said to me. When you die, your body decomposes and the atoms that contain, quote unquote, you are recycled into the earth to be used again. Is that your happy fact?
I think that's a happy fact.
I think that's pretty great. I think that's pretty wild that the same list that said that a pig can orgasm 30 times for like 30 minutes. I think the fact that they tried to give me that life lesson in the same list, like the kind of dissonance that I had to experience.
Well, sometimes you have to think about like all the matter that ever is and ever has been has always existed. So the bits that make you have always existed and will always continue to exist in one form or another.
And I think that's beautiful.
And somehow, somehow you've managed to be the one using the bits.
Yeah, that's wild. And I think you're super legit. I think that is a super like awesome thing that Bored Panda tried to let me know after telling me about the pigs and their nasty business.
That's true. They didn't have to tell you the pigs' nasty business.
And they said this belongs in the same list. And also that you couldn't make like 50 items of like happy things about the universe
without talking about death.
Like, could we, like, I like not even like that that's wrong. It's just like the dissonance. You couldn't have two separate lists. Like, you could come up with so few things that you had to combine it into one.
Well, there's only 50 happy facts.
Apparently. Apparently there's only 50 happy things about the world.
And one of them is that puppies are misogynistic.
And some of it has to do with sexism. And the death penalty.
I'm just out here trying to take the toxic masculinity away from dogs.
Any way I can. So that's all I have for you.
Are you ready for Would You Rather, Claire? I got a good one. I think I got a good one that's going to really expose us as nasty people.
Okay.
So this, I got this one from the Would You Rather subreddit.
Okay.
Would you rather wear comfy but dirty underwear or a squeaky clean one that's too small?
This is...
It's a trap.
It's a trap. It's like literally a trap. Okay, so... Really comfy underwear.
You have to wear one or the other. You can't go commando.
That's nasty. Okay. Good clarification. Yeah. Really comfortable underwear. That's dirty.
That's dirty.
How dirty are we? What are we qualifying as dirty? Because people can have wildly different views on what's dirty.
I think
like, that, like... how many days?
You know, like... I'm going to be like, okay, women. Like, you know, like when you get like a little bit of the crusty in it.
I find it challenging that we're bringing this up right now, but I do...
Just a little bit of the crusty.
This is what I'm going to say. Clean, but too tight.
Oh, I guess I'm nasty. Because, like, I would have to go with, like, the comfy, but just a little crusty.
Well, I feel like I don't do laundry enough, so I have to make this choice, and I know what my choice is of, like, I'm going to do the really uncomfortable underwear that's just one size too small. I've made this choice.
No, see, that would drive me crazy.
It's not fun. No one's happy that I have had to make this choice.
Have you worn dirty underwear before?
I'm like almost 23. Of course I have.
Yeah. Okay. Just checking. So I want to hit you with, so people respond to it, of course. And one person said, you know, like, depends by what you mean by dirty. Right. And
of course, listen
to the whole spiel. The original poster goes, thanks.
As in, this was just like, this was just a question that they needed answered because it was for their life today.
And someone just wanted, thanks? Is this a real life dilemma? And the original poster put, maybe.
Listen, they're valid. They're valid. They're valid.
But what they're valid. And a I won't way come to make a choice. What a way to make a hard choice than to go to the Would You Rather subreddit.
The thing is that you know it. This required them to wait, right? So that means that in the meantime, they could have cleaned their underwear, right? Because it takes the people a while to respond.
I don't know. I don't know if that's true. I think that one person responded. It was posted 11 hours ago. Someone responded 11 hours ago.
Oh, it's fresh.
They said thanks 11 hours ago. So I'm saying that they may have posited this question as they were staring at their two choices. And I would even argue that, like, if this person is a person with, like, a peepus.
Ah, yes.
I would argue that, like, the smaller underwear is infinitely worse for the ab.
Yeah, right? I can't relate to that.
Like, mm-hmm. Getting I don't know. That's not my lived experience. My current atoms don't know that. But I would assume that that would be like horrifically uncomfortable.
But the reality of it is that like we already stated the fact that like, hey, you're living in a binary that doesn't have to exist.
You can also just not wear underwear, guys. It's okay. It's good for you.
Sometimes you need it.
Sometimes she needs to breathe, especially if you're a lady with a vagina. She needs to breathe.
It's important. Okay, so I guess we should talk about where you could technically find us. One, email all, like, any questions that you have, any follow-ups, like what would you do in this Would You Rather? Yeah. I think this is a good one to really get in and discuss.
You can find me crying in a Super Target.
You can find her crying in a
Super Target. Yeah, that's what I said.
That is a place.
Anytime you feel the urge to cry in a supermarket, I will appear before you, a visage, to cry with you, like Midsommar.
I haven't. That's a reference I don't know yet. No. I will watch it soon. So, okay, wait. Going back over it. Email us any topics you want discussed.
Yes.
Or any questions or Would You Rathers that you have.
Also, just razz us.
Do it.
I dare
you. Do it. I mean, that's part of my daily life anyways, so you might as well. And then find us online, Chaos Considered, and consider some chaos with us at our Instagram and also our Tweeter.
Instagram.
Who haven't been updated, but one day.
Yeah, we also have a website that hasn't been updated.
You're
so
welcome.
We're really on it. We're really out here doing it. You're welcome. That's it.